Blog Talk Radio.
To a Team of Voices presentation of Off the Rack. I'm your host, Rack and Tour. We're a group of poets that hangs out on the All Poetry website, and we're brought to you by Mr. A.P. Taylor himself, who may or may not make an appearance later today. I'm pretty sure he lent us his words, so chances are he's going to pop up. He pops up, which is kind of convenient because he's coming from down under. He's probably tired of all these down under jokes, so I should probably stop making them. But, you know, I'm incorrigible. Anyways, that's probably why you people tune in, at least I hope so. We've got some thoughts tonight on the meaning of life. And if anyone's seen The Hitchhiker of the Galaxy, we can get over the 42 and move on. Not that it's not funny, but, you know, it's probably going to be overdone before the night's over. So Here we go. I've got my lovely co-host, Miss Sweet Pea, hiding out behind the scenes, working the studio on the phones. Hello, Miss Sweet. She likes to talk to the mute button. Anyways.
Hello. I'm here. That's exactly what
how
I was
doing, girl?
Too. I was talking to the mute button. I'm good. We have callers.
We have callers. Well, let's herd them in.
We do. We have Mr. Hatter. Say hello, Hatter.
Hello, Hatter. Unmuted.
Unmuted. How you doing?
And I don't know who 573 is, but I think it might be Sinister.
How do you not know who 573 is?
I was right.
I'm not on here a lot, but it's not like there's a lot of 573s out there in the world. I feel really.
This is true. But you know, I always want to make sure before I go, hey, this is George from Pennsylvania, but I didn't. I said I believe it's Sinister, and I was right. All right, and then I have 614.
So what you got, Ben?
Hello.
This is George from Pennsylvania. What's up?
This is George from Pennsylvania. See, I always do Sky and AP. I mix them up, and I don't know why, because I transpose their numbers because of my little dyslexia. And
yes. If
I say it's AP, then it's going to be Sky. And if I say it's Sky, it's going to be AP. And that's exactly what I did.
PA, you know, Pennsylvania is dyslexic for AP. So you said
that's true. I did it right. Okay, so first I'm going to say it. Hey, AP, how you feeling? We're doing okay.
I've got a couple of stitches in my arm, but I'm pretty good. I was stupid enough to actually go down. Well, it's not stupid. It was good to have an operation that I could get out quickly. The downside of that was I had to be awake during it. And so sort of people wandering around and prodding and poking and all that crap, and so that feels distinctly uncomfortable, but not sore, just uncomfortable.
All right, I had a little surgery myself today. No big deal. They took a little bit of cancer out of my back and got a couple of, got a stitch. There you go.
And
all's well.
There's more.
Yeah.
Well, damn.
Yeah. Just a little bit of skin.
I had anesthetic. Well, it's an anesthetic.
We're all good.
I
yours is much more. Yours was much more, you know, in depth than mine was. So we're all good.
No, okay.
All right.
No, you can carved out. You know, let's be.
So I think we need to get the scale and like all your discarded parts have to get weighed, and we'll see who's in the lead with losing body parts. How much is Hatter lost? How much is AP lost?
All right.
Not
hey, guys, I will call you right back.
Okay,
hang up.
Okay, right back. All right.
Right on.
Back to the host.
Yes, back to the host.
Well, I just caught my stitches. Hold on.
What happened?
No, I got your stitches.
Yeah, if we were to count scars, I would win, hands down.
No, I got stitches. Yep.
Well, that goes to the skill of the surgeon that they could do laparoscopic surgery, but take out like an entire organ. So that's why I'm saying we need to weigh what they've removed. It's not.
I've got a better way of work this whole process, right?
Uh huh.
I have the private mobile phone number of my vascular surgeon. How's that?
Oh no!
There you go.
I do.
I can see it.
Coupons.
You see, you know what's funny is this kind of relates to the quote in the sense that you know we rant and we spend our time you know on stage as it were, but at the end of the day, our problems are ours. It doesn't matter whose is worse than whose. You know, it's our problem that we have to deal with. So, you know, it's horrible, and we can commiserate about it, but, you know.
No, it's but I do have a poem, Rack.
Okay. I'm guessing you're pressed for time. We can let you go. Read, I mean.
Can you?
Not go. first, and then
well, I will put it on because you know I'm Australian, not British. However, British guys are very, very funny, and they did do a funny thing on this whole thing. They did the Monty Python crew did the
meaning of
life. They did the meaning of life. Yes.
Yes, they did.
Sitting in that meaning of life was one of the most magnificent songs ever created, and that was called the Universe Song. And the Universe Song was just before the piece on liver transplantation, where the people come in and the live lady, they say, now give me your liver. Oh, okay. And that was after hearing the Universe Song. So it's a song. Anyway, I've redone the lyrics. And it goes a little bit like this.
Yeah.
You ready?
Go for it.
This is about our very small galaxy. Whenever you have a frown, Mr. Rack, and it seems the bards have had enough. Our erstwhile host is stupid, facetious, or daft, and you believe all drafts are rough. Yes, remember that there are poems that are evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour. The chapters certainly are parsecs, so I reckon, and there is sun with three lights by the hour. And every letter we sketch, by the time it's placed to X, has gone thousands of miles here so far, to a far distant dead end where there is little power, on a galaxy named after a chocolate bar. Our planet is millions of problems, which scar? So many books would reach across the point six, yet in so little does truth, real truth reside, and even fewer on this site get 2 points. We go around and around to get to Latin for our peers. There is a new ranking system among zillions in our frustrating and moving universe. While the universe is expanding, our sight is contracting. In all directions there is a tear, reducing to a black lifeless place to know at the speed of light. And that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when feeling very small and insignificant, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray there is intelligent life somewhere up in space. This is bugger all down, Your Honor.
I kind of saw that coming. Amen. Because it's bugger all here on Earth. Oh, my God. That's fantastic. And a candy bar named after the universe. They have their moments. I love Monty Python, but at the same time, I get annoyed. It's like two hours, and you're taking away a 5-minute skit. But there's usually more that you can mine from it. But they could be hysterical, but at the same time, a little irritating. But that's part of the appeal.
You know, I get that. But yes. No, I had the last stanza is completely taken from the actual song, so in quotes. But the rest of it's mine.
That's awesome.
Even the galaxy after the chocolate bar, that's mine.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, but when did they name a galaxy Snickers?
Well, I don't know. Well, we have to play. You know, there are Snickers out there of galaxy.
Yeah.
I thought it was nutrageous.
It sort of sounds like AP. You were searching how to end it.
That's the actual end. Oh,
okay.
The actual end. I ran out of time. That's okay. Actually from the real song.
Oh, okay. Sometimes I just go on and on how to end the damn thing.
I ran out of time. Right. Anyway, there you go. Hand up.
You search and search until, but there's no, you know, you don't stop until you find what you're looking for. It's just never ending. Kind of why.
Yeah. When I heard the line that ended in kids, I knew something was coming up.
Excellent piece. Did you want to comment further?
No, that's all I got. Nice job, AP. I'm glad you went through that procedure okay, too.
Oh, yeah. Bastard. Anyway, thank you. No, thanks, so.
It's great to hear your voice, and the universe smiled on your very extremities. Sin, can you comment for AP?
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. You know, I've always admired this of you guys, and AP, you did this remarkably well. You know, you put such light and airy into something to show up and be present for your friends as a poet, but then you're getting you throw in these little dashes of truth and cleverness, and you know, I can't help but admire it, man. Great piece.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you did a great job adapting to the Monty Python style, to the point that you could probably convince at least one person that it was them and not all yours. what'd you think, sweet? Did she drop?
No, I can't drop. If I drop, the whole show drops. Please.
Okay.
I am the mighty princess. I hold the universe in my hands right now. I want
Colin, she's going to applaud you.
Leaving the earth of the dumb, loving the song, though very well sung. I like the fact that every letter is sketched about 900 times, because I've read these poems so many times, and they have yet, like me, have the ability to make it rhyme. So, just like my Monty Python and those of us with a pen. What a lovely tribute, AP, for your
Thank
poems
you.
Always win. You're welcome.
I get some lines in there. I managed to get some lines in. I you know, vaguely cutting. Slightly serrated. You know what it's like.
I do, because if I try to rhyme like, you know, all of these, because this is free verse, and that's why I love it, because, you know, you don't do free verse very well, very often, and when you do, it's very well done, and I like it when you do free verse, and I like this is, I love the galaxy named after a chocolate bar, because, you know, I love the Milky Way, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Did you just hear a scream?
I'm quite proud of it. Sorry, Hatta.
What did you say, Hatta?
I asked Sweet if she just said she was a screamer. I heard you say you were a screamer.
Yes, I am a screamer, but that's definitely not a PG-13 show. So let's move on.
No. No, exactly.
Gotcha.
Okay, Doc. Talking about moving on, I'm moving over stage left, and I will leave you with what comes next, which I think is liver transplantation. So thanks, Rack, and I will talk soon. Thank you.
Bye, AP. Thanks.
Okay.
See you,
AP. See you soon. Bye. Thanks, Anna.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right.
Wait.
I'm going to throw mine on the board if you're all right with that.
I'm all right with that.
Okay,
after all, you hold the universe in your hands.
I do hold the universe in my hands. It's very scary because it's a very small universe. It contains four dogs, and that's about it.
Well, just don't applaud.
I won't.
But if it hurts you, that might hurt. The world, then I want it now.
I just want a Milky Way now. Can't. I'm going on the board.
Hershey
okay.
Dark.
Me, just little old me. You can handle that.
No,
right.
We can't.
Did you find me?
Yep.
I'm still feeling.
Yep, yep.
Except I put the wrong thing on. I put the link to Rack Show on. So that doesn't help anybody.
Yes,
at
you
all.
Did.
Yeah, I was going to say, what am I doing wrong? Because I keep going to the same
You're
spot.
Not doing
it's
anything.
Not
it's me. I put Rack, because that was the last thing I did, is I have Rack.
How do you keep it? How do you keep an idiot busy?
Follow Sweet Pea. She'll get you there. Sorry,
but
guys. I want everybody. I want to make sure everybody goes to your. Oh my God.
That's Hatter's piece, not yours.
No. Okay, no. This is mine. Is right under there. There you go. Clock of my fate. Okay.
Gotcha.
Let's see. Lay me down as the moon sinks to the horizon, as the smell of magnolias float on the breeze, like cool cotton sheets caress my back, and the blues fill the air. Nightmares and pigments of black bruises clutch the charade of time, wasting away in the tick-tock haze that moment, that every moment is mine, where calendars change dark moods to sunshine. Self-inflicted metamorphosis announce a cloak of obscurity, stepping to the pop of metronome's rhyme, decaying into the skeleton, a variation shocked to find. Wandering through the land birth of longevity, an apprentice in possession of my mind, searching for clemency to dodge the curse of dying. The mystery of numbers never lasts on the face, hands move in pace, but second helpings are not obtained. The sounds of cuckoo screech in a clock's repetitive games. Lay me down as the moon sings to the horizon, as the smell of magnolias float on the breeze. Let cool cotton sheets caress my back, and the blues fill the air, as the clock of my fate spins in the rounds and pulls.
Backwards. Nice.
That was beautiful, sweet. You know, it's a shame that there's going to be a time when people have no idea what clock hands are or cuckoo clocks and things like that, you know, referencing the technology that we've kind of graduated from, I guess. But, you know, some of us still hang on to it and have things like that. I would absolutely hang a cuckoo clock up if I still had one, because to me that's as much symbolic as functional. I love this contemplating the passage of time and whatnot. There was how did you put it? When you first went into the time portion of this, seeking clemency. Oh, that was brilliant. You know, we're all constantly trying to find ways around that, and you know, in the end, we're all victims of it. You know. There's no getting away. There's no getting around it. Beautiful piece, and a lovely rhyme. Even if you think you can't, Hatter, what'd you think?
Yeah, the time thing. What's with that?
Seeking clemency. It was almost.
I had my cover. Then you got me thinking of what you were talking about. Hold on. What you were saying. No, I think timepieces, grandfather clocks, wind-up clocks are going to stick around for a while. It's not, I don't think they'll not know what it is. They just won't be able to tell time. They'll know what a clock is. I think it's that way now. A lot of children that can't look at a clock without it being digital. Tell what time it is. Mystery of numbers will laugh on my face. Cuckoo, a lot of references. Oh, you know, every time you guys write like the smell of magnolias or the honeysuckle, when my memory of those is actually like so thick it's choking.
Oh,
playing, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's usually in pockets on the farm. It's usually in pockets. It sits under a tree. There's no wind. It just sits there. Usually there's not a lot of gnats around and stuff. Once in a while I can, but my memories are of it's so thick. It's almost unbearable.
There was a plot of land next to the courtyard in the school, my grade school, like second grade, that had the honeysuckles growing on it. I learned about plucking the flower and pulling that little bead of honey. That was taking me way back when. And it wasn't quite enough to be as overpowering as you described, but it was enough to, like, you know, overpower the area that you knew if you closed your eyes where you were in the courtyard, schoolyard. It was a lovely thing, the way that they climbed up the fence.
I think that's what it was with the honeysuckle was the worst for me.
Sin, can you comment for Sweet?
Let's do the time warp again. You know why the hairs and clocks are going to go out? Because you're talking about cuckoo clocks, and those should all be burnt and they've broken them within Bulgaria or Bulgaria, whatever the fuck it's supposed to be. Now, grandfather clocks do stand the test of time. Like this poem, much ruinous me on the cascading of moments, and you guys are talking about the honeysuckle, and what that is, and what you're talking about is exactly what Sweet was able to capture, was a moment you can go back to in life. For me, it was third grade, almost burnt down my school, playing with two sticks. There was honeysuckles right next to it, and behind that was a pomegranate tree. So, you know, that's why I say time warp again. This is what you did. You danced through time with this piece. It was very beautiful.
Did you go to late, Little John?
Little John?
Yeah, I was just asking Sid. He grew up near where I did. I was just trying to guess where he went to school. The Little John?
Foreign Elementary. Foreign Elementary. They're over by the Foreign Mall. I mean, it's a ghetto now, but back in the day, it was really nice. We had like an acre, and we had this huge weeping willow in the back, and that's ranch style home. And I was riding my bike to school, and in the back of the school was the huge, huge fence line full of honeysuckles, and then on the other side of the fence is a giant pomegranate tree, but if the pomegranate didn't drop, you had to climb the fence to get to the guy's yard. And I did that a few times, but those are the greatest pomegranates I ever had.
I think the Westminster Shrine came from a grandfather clock.
Time's funny. Time's your friend when you're young. You got plenty of time. You got my whole life ahead of me. There's plenty of time. But there's got to be the one day you went, oh, shit. Oh, excuse me. Oh, crap.
You know, the greatest phrase ever to tell new parents is you only have 18 summers with your child.
I've been repeating that since I've heard that. And, was somebody that said that to me.
That's sobering. That's not a happy phrase. We'll put that one in the heart locker.
More, yeah. You
my favorite
that
quote.
By how many kids you get?
Yeah, you only have 18 summers with your child.
You got 10 kids, you're going to 8?
Well, we have.
Oh, my God.
Hatter, your poem is on the board, so why don't you... strike it up and go ahead and read.
Okay, I can do that. Lost and confused, I thought that I knew. Everybody got it? Already there. It's like this. Lost and confused, I thought that I knew all that was in my sight. When asked again from a long-standing friend, what is the meaning of life? What I have heard, it twists the words in many more lies have been told. The answer's too many, too big, too small. Some don't answer the question at all. While stealing a base, I found a place, but nothing felt quite right. Labored to breathe, I fell to my knees. I witnessed the meaning of life. It comes to me shattered, placed under glass, folded and shattered, tossed out like trash. With all that is worse, comes to me as a curse, and what it comes to me is free. How can I preach from a topless beach, and how can I explain if there's no one who cares? First thing we do is add 42. What's left? What will be shared? If you give it all you can, you might understand. It's like a double-edged knife. So listen to me. What's danger to thee is the answer to the meaning of life. Don't ask that question.
That's excellent, Hatter. So there we go. We can end the show right now. Hatta just gave us the meaning of life. We're done. You took it head on and just like, you know, here you go. What'd you think of Hatta?
I kind of agree with Hatta. The most dangerous to listen to me, what's dangerous to thee is the answer to the meaning of life. I don't know if we have a meaning for life. I think the meaning to life is the search for the meaning of life, because we spend our lives looking for this paradigm and dichotomy, and, you know, every time we think we find it, it shifts, and that's not what we're supposed to be looking for. And, you know, we ultimately think of this dream of happiness because that's what's shoved down our throat. And you know what? We're given anger and madness and chaos and chaotic. So I think the meaning of life is to accept life. And
you know, it's always
to accept
it's always an extreme too. You know, it's more.
Yeah, it's,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The meaning of life is to accept your journey. No matter what that journey may be, it's not always happy. It's not always sad. It's not always perfection. It has so many different things for so many different ways. And we all have this thing that says, I have to look at in the mirror and be like the next person. Well, what if you just look in the mirror and accept you're crazy and accept your sadness and accept your madness and accept you're happy all at the same time? And don't
doubt
what everybody else says.
I think you question it the most when you witness somebody passes away, when somebody dies that's young still. Then you go, wait a minute. Meaning of life.
I think that's what gets you to question the meaning when you lose somebody. But
exactly.
To expound a little bit on what Sweepy was pontificating on. I like the idea. It feels like to me that it's not an individual, a universal thing, rather an individual thing. You know, what it means to one might not mean the same to the other. So there's no universal meaning. But you know, so which kind of goes down to what you said about it being the journey.
Yeah.
Is blue
to you too?
Hey Sin, can you tell us the meaning of Hatter's poem?
Yeah.
I couldn't listen to it. I took a bong rip and started hacking like a motherfucker, but I didn't read it. And
PG-13 warning.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, baby. You have to remind me of these things. It's not that I'm just unfiltered. The meaning is stop and pay. The meaning is stop and pay attention. It's in that we think we've lost everything, and we find it all.
Yeah. So everything means very little. I think the older you get, the things that had price tags mean less and less.
Well, what means something to you might not mean the same to anyone else, you know?
Of course, anyway. Yeah. And one day I will have you all thinking the same way I do.
I'm already there with you, brother. I am already there with you, man. It's an elevated vibration kind of thing. It really is. It's just about being in tune and being comfortable with yourself. That's what the meaning of life is.
Yeah, but that skips a big chunk of it. I understand it, but the meaning of life, I mean, why are we here? Is it a test?
Or is this purgatory?
You know, I've heard the theory of wouldn't it be nice? It's been said that you have to go to hell before you go to heaven. You have to know hell before you go to heaven. Wouldn't it be nice when you get to heaven that we've already been to hell?
And so I sit on all planes. Can I go next? Because I got to go get kids here shortly.
Yes, yes, sir.
Listening to my show is going through hell right now.
Do you have your poem? Are you going to put it on the board? What are you doing?
Did you bring one? Sin, did you bring a poem?
Yeah, no, actually, I wrote to it. I put it on the thing, but I was probably too late. It might have already been closed. So, like, an hour ago, I don't know, it was 2.5 hours ago, I got on because I have officially stopped Facebook Messenger. I have officially stopped Clubhouse. I am so tired of people treating me with callous disregard, and I will not deal with any of those people anymore.
I have it.
I'm not completely. You guys have never done
I
that
to me. I have
your
poem, honey.
So, okay. I'm giving you an instruction.
I do have it, sir. I've got it.
Okay,
oh, it's
cool.
Up there. You got it.
I put it on the board. So, you know, I saw, like, 3 hours ago that you guys were doing a show, and, like, what's the name of my... Someone said on this, and finally, somebody called me back, and I had this little bit of something I had been working on, and your piece or your show coincided with that, and here is White Cast. We ready?
We're ready.
All right. Somewhere inside a white cat mushroom is a world I know. Drifting off, making the quietest dance of abandon, evolving, beautiful, unfurling mystery, subliminally color-coded, yet softly flagrant into my subtleties. These hysterical faux pas over and consumptions of aversion over it, under here. Bohemian behemoth bending bars, brazenly breaking brain barriers, backward binary ballistics burning barn doors. After a kid bliss. Wouldn't one be remiss, fasting not feasting on bounty currently present, the sustenance rich beyond the breach, let it seep lethargically, into an atom of pinky salvation, my brain, less tragedy, is a trauma of the body, as it collides slowly, leaving impression, not slain, deep, but all well to know. You recall? Where is it we grow? Upward, ethereal, projection shot from recognition, unfurling its sweetest, suppleness, sensually, systematically swirling sweet sensations in my head, through my vessels, as I'm encasement of inertia found abundant in the vacant, some may dread why. I fly, Father breathing, and peace.
Wow. And you wrote that before you saw the subject, huh? That's pretty cool. I like that a lot, Sinister. Yeah, wow. It's very contemplative of the journey and the crap that we're going through day to day. That's really cool. Hatter, can you comment for Sinister?
Yeah, you really got to follow this. I can try to read some of it again. Wouldn't one be remiss fasting, not feasting on bounty currently present, sustenance rich beyond the breach? Beyond the breach. Let it seep logically into the. Yeah, Sin, you got a way of. You know, I used to write similar to this back in the day. It's a very. Would you call it cryptic? Cryptic? Is that the. Or is it just metaphoric?
Metaphorical?
I call it in your fucking face, but just intelligently.
PG, it's okay.
Sweepy, what would you call it?
I would call it kind of like Sin calls it. It's very It's very intellectually intellectually awareness. It's, you know, wake up. This is where we are in life. This is where we should be. Too many of us are sleeping. I mean, he even says it in his poem. You know, let it sleep lethargically. And if you don't know what an atium or atium, I can't say the word very correctly. I mean,
Addison, a place we hide in most sacred rows. Addison,
right.
Yes.
It was the innermost sanctuary of an ancient Greek temple. So it's like where I know what it is. I my southern accent, you know, I can't say strawberries, right? And I say crayon. And people don't know what a crayon is, so I always have to say it's a coloring stick.
Crayon.
So,
come on.
You know.
You say crayon better than strawberry.
Crayon.
Crayon. Well, people make fun of the way I say crayon.
The raging
Cajun. You know, it isn't. It isn't trauma of the body as it collides fully, leaving impression not slain deep, but all well to know, to recall where it is we grow. So it is, where do we grow? Where are we growing? How are we growing? What's going on in the mind, or in the mind of not only as oneself, but as, I mean, if you look at the world today, I mean, look at the absurdity, the absolute absurdity that is going on as a collective unit over the damn Barbie movie. It's Barbie. It's freaking Barbie.
Oh, God, yeah. Can you believe that?
What is wrong with the collective mind? It's Barbie. You have governors burning
Barbie. It's a Barbie world.
What the hell is wrong? And I'm not going to go political.
A Barbie girl in a Barbie world.
I mean, just when I look at that, that's what I see. I mean, where are we growing? How are we growing as a civilization? I mean, where are our philosophers? Where are our people? Where are the intelligent people just going, let's shut the door on the idiots because they shouldn't be doing anything? And so this is what I see as, you know, let's stand up and make intelligent choices and, you know, let's go in my head through my vessel as I am encased in the interior, found abundant in the vacant. Some may dread why I fly. I take this information and I am smarter and better, and I'm just gonna take who I am, and I'm gonna take my sanctuary, and I'm gonna be there, and I know how smart I am, and how I will raise my generation and my people and my individuals to see beyond the stupidity, and show that there is intelligent life, and that's how I feel, and this is the way I am with the ones I've given my blood to, and the ones that I raise, and they will go forth and raise that generation, because not all of us are dumb, and not all of us fall into this, and not all of us, because we can grow, and we are not all puppets of morons. So that's how I read this.
They're bitching about the subliminal meanings that the kids can pick up that we might not. It's a real thing. As far as, like, the games on phones.
I wish they would pick up my subliminal meanings. If they could start picking up my subliminal meanings, wouldn't we be a better world? World domination is in my grasp. Here's the thing. Like, people have a problem with me, and they have since I was very young. And then I got waivers for a long time, kind of thinking, what, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm here now. But, see, people have an issue with me because I am so comfortable with myself. I am okay with who I am. I love the hell out of myself. I'm lonely. That's not a sexual thing. That's an intimacy thing on an intelligent level, because you can be the most beautiful thing in the world, but if you're in that common sense, you don't do anything for me. Because there's so much more. And I've been calling this since I was 13. It's called the flicker free. What I call it, the flicker free, this instant gratification has numbed the senses of the masses to become the sheep. They're getting herded. And I'm being very good right now. So watch my language. I know where I am. it's sickening. You know, it is sickening. And people go, oh, you're vulgar. I got kicked out of a bar the other day for talking about language. Now, yes, it was an adult conversation. It was 10:30 at night. There shouldn't have been a 10-year-old at the bar, but I get threatened to leave the bar after I said, I'm like, did I not give you a good enough tip? We just had a perfectly good conversation. I may be a little tipsy, but I'm not drunk. Why do you have to speak to me in a threatening manner? It's because I hurt your feelings or your patron's feelings. You know, and this is the problem with people. This is the problem with people. They see something, it doesn't work for them, so they get and they tear it up, you know, or they hulk up. You know, really, now it's nothing with Karen anymore. Now all I see is hulk up. They think there's an incredible hulk. Well, I tell you what, buddy. I tell you what, step to this, and you're going to find out. You know, don't be so stupid. Why are you so rash? I mean, if I come off the vibe to you that you don't like, tell me, hey, dude, I'm not the one that walk away from me. I can respect that. But when you tell me, hey, I don't walk away, I'm going to light you up. You know, I'm like, what? And so I don't understand the meaning of life.
That's just someone that's hanging
ourselves and being happy.
It's the cancel culture, and we all object to it.
Who's ringing the bell?
Yeah. Thank you.
Hello, 603.
Hello.
How you been?
Hello. I wanted to call earlier, but apparently my goddaughter thought that staying up after 10 o'clock was the best idea ever.
It was the best idea ever. As she,
well,
that's
I
part
was
of the
like,
meaning of
I even put the movie on. I was like, why don't you go lay down in my bed? And no, nothing. And then I thought she was sleeping, and I shut off the TV, and she yelled at me. I'm like, it's 10:20! Go to bed!
Oh, my. Well, we've been discussing matters of life and all of that, and it's been quite the topic of things like that. And how have you, you know, we've gone from there's no meaning to life, the meaning of life is the intelligence of life, and crazy people burning Barbies and things like that. So, welcome.
Well, I'm going to have to go super sappy, you know.
I like sappy.
Of course you are.
Your sappy's all right.
So, welcome to Rack's show. I'm just helping him read things.
I'm Hatter.
Okay. Hi, Hatter. Hi, Rack.
Hey.
And then, what was that?
And we got Sinister in case she didn't.
Yeah, I heard Sin.
I'm in the corner. I'm in the corner. I'm shutting up.
Hard not to notice.
Yes.
Hey, sweet. Can you throw my coconut poem in the studio? Did you want to read, Sky? Did you bring goodies?
So well, yeah, I'll find you something. Not ready yet. Not ready yet, but I'll be with you for the rest of the night. So it's plenty of time, right?
Oh, good, because then you can help me read poems,
Sky,
too.
Where were you last night, Sky? I made up a word. I thought you were going to kiss me on it.
Where was I last night? I was, what's last night, Monday? I was working. So it's summertime, so I've been working at my other job. I work a double Saturday and Sunday, and then I work second shift Monday. And I was camping.
You know what happened to me?
Yeah, I thought that I would have more time in the summer. But more time does not seem to happen for me. Ever.
Enjoy it.
But what was the word that you made up, though, if I may ask?
It was a name of a planet or a moon.
Well, what was it?
I think I used it because it had to rhyme. Made up
the word. She understands the context of it. She wants to know the actual word. She's giving you a platform to brag and tell her the word that you created, sir.
It was Kiffer, K-I-F-P-H-O-R, Kiffer.
Okay, I like it.
Did it for you. You were on my mind when I did it. Let's put it that way.
Oh,
well, send me
there
the poem.
You go.
Send me the poem and I'll read it.
Okay.
We'll find it. Hey, the water go down?
Yeah. Why would she want to kiss you for? Kiss for her.
Oh, hey, I got a joke. I heard a great joke. Listen, this princess finds a frog, and the frog says, "Hey, man, if you kiss me, I'll turn into a prince." She goes, "No, I think I'll keep him. I'd rather have a talking frog."
I like that. I think your joke is great.
I did. I laughed. I thought it was funny, too.
I do, too.
It's
I thought it was funny.
There's too much truth in that.
Well, sit me down. Okay. That's it. I got.
Do we have any other audio clips, Sweet?
No.
Oh wow! So
we don't.
Pee-wee and the other ones are all needs a reader.
Everybody needs a reader. So
I can read. Very good, but I can read.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
I opened the window. I opened the window.
Oh, okay. You just scared me.
Sorry.
Dude, you scared me. I'm like, what did I do wrong? And my earbuds did not like that.
It's not long enough to go through that. This is not enough air time to alliterate what you did wrong.
Well, I might have.
It was showing up. We're glad you're here, but you know, there are those that would argue that was where you went wrong. But
we're glad you're here, but. Yeah.
But why will you not upload?
Yeah.
Why is everyone harping on her butt? Anyway. So what do we got? We got Pee-wee, we got
Fishong.
I have JCA.
And he didn't give us an audio either? Wow.
No.
He's slipping.
No, I don't think so. I know.
You want to read JCA matter?
JCA's? Sure.
Okay.
I've
got Pee Wee's audio, so.
Okay.
You
going to play that one?
No, go ahead and read. Hold on.
Okay,
you got me in the studio.
Can you post JCA's?
Yes, I will. Let me get back to my studio. I got to get back in there. I was trying to get you load. I know, but I was hoping to get you back in there. So let me go back to here. Back to here. Back to here. Back to here. I'm really bad at this, just so that you know. I really, really am. So let me get JCA. No, I got it. I was in the studio trying to load Rack, which didn't load, so I have to go back in.
Yeah, I should ask you that first.
Yeah. So, that was my biggest problem. I can't get Rack loaded into the studio. So, I guess Pee-wee's loaded. Okay, so there's
JCA. Things aren't going to be sad. I think it's the day.
Yeah.
Traveling is going
all right. Go ahead and read him.
Okay. Let me make sure there's no big words. Okay, that's all right. Resetting by JCA. It goes like this. Water fingers crash the rocky beachhead. Meditating in fractured brain. Solace
saw was possibly a boiled veins, lacerations, clot from the bleeding. Stand with me, pop the crowd. Listen to the breezes whisper. Chant of the songs and the healing waves, sea mist painting in the ponds. Rose quartz touches the appetite sea. Appetite sea. Is that appetite? That's not appetite, is it?
No, it's not appetite.
The appetite sea. Appetite. Okay. Green tourmaline and the yellow topaz. Sky to swell of the bluebonnet blooms. Pelicans and the gulls dive. Soil the crayons of chalk and the jasper harmonic and the reds and the bone light brush as the grass litters the ground, cover the quail crowd and the leaf of grouse. Hands and our bodies blend in the nature, renewed. It is beautiful. I can tell he crystal hunts where he's at. There's a lot of crystals, I see. He mentioned the tourmaline and the yellow topaz. And I say crayon, right?
don't be teasing Sweet Pea on that. We'll have to bring up the BJ poem.
Oh no.
Anyway, I love JCA's rights. He's got some things, you know, like Deb likes to put her colors in. He likes to put his gemstones in, you know. That's kind of his little signature. You mentioned the tourmaline and whatnot. But you know, the beach setting that he's talking about is, you know, the perfect place to sit and contemplate the meaning of life, which it sounds like, you know, he's searching for too. It's a lovely piece that he brought us, without so many big words. I still didn't understand what the A word was you were trying to read, but
apartheid. It's not apartheid. I don't have my glasses on either, so I shouldn't be.
It's a noun, widely occurring pale green. Pale green and purple mineral. The widely occurring pale green to purple mineral, consisting of calcium, phosphate, and some fluoride, other elements. So it's another mineral.
Apartheid? No.
Yeah, that's what it says.
He's right.
As a noun, that's what it says.
That's just a stone. He's bringing in all those precious gems to use it as a metaphor for it.
Yeah, thank you, Sky. Go ahead, continue, please.
In comment.
What?
Put you on the spot.
I was saying that Hatter is right. It's just a stone. You know, whenever he writes for me, when he used to write for my contest, stuff like that, he'd always put in the precious stones. He knows that I really enjoy them. And actually, we just got a magic stone shop in my town, which is terrible because it's just so available. It's terrible, but spend so much money there. But this is beautiful, and I have to say, you know, rose quartz is my favorite, and I love how he uses the stone as a representation of all the colors that are sparkling and that are there, and the undertones of the sea and the swift, and kind of bringing in that photo, but kind of really, you take away the photo, you're gonna see it through the images of quartz, and then you've got the soil of crayon, soil the crayons of chalk. Which I really liked that. And of course, he brings in a jasper. I mean, he just fills in this entire piece with precious gems. You know, some of them may be new to people. Some of them were more common. I would say, you know, the yellow topaz would be more common. Rose quartz would be more common. But he also puts these more rare ones. I
like the way that it does.
Yeah, I found it.
And I think it brings in a beautiful shade of color. Really well done.
I found another definition for, it says for blue apatite. Is that it? Oh, got it.
Yeah.
And of course, then I lose it. Hold on.
It's like phosphate, except it's apatite.
If
he says what's the meaning of life, he might be thinking of the beauty of nature. So I think that, you know, and taking that time.
When you said it the first time, I thought you said
APA. Yeah, APATITE. It says it's the it increases self-confidence and self-acceptance while helping to access your authentic soul. Blue stones with blue apatite connect the mind to the spiritual world. So there is meaning behind the
right
using the word.
And speaking of stones,
every stone does, yeah.
What did you think, Sin?
Sin is not with us anymore.
Yeah, Sin left.
Sin had to go pick up his kids.
Oh, okay. And Heather, semi-commented or commented? Are you commenting or done commenting, Heather?
It's also attuned to the future.
That, by the way.
To the past lives.
And that wasn't sarcasm.
Sounds like a Wiccan element. The stone Wiccans use connect to the past, your past lives. See the future. Interesting.
I don't see JCA as using it as a Wiccan piece. I just don't see that. I see it more like him using it as something more of centering mind, body, soul kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I definitely see it as, I like the depth of the words, like it flows into a scenes of serenity where he's got the greens and the blues and mingling with between the ocean and the sand. And then he's bringing in the birds and the blue, you know, the swell of the blue bonnet and the ocean and the sky. And he's just sitting there just finding his inner peace. I like, you know, where he goes and our hands and our bodies blend in the nature. New, renewed is beautiful. So I think that's his place to go and think. I know I used to do that a lot at the North Shore when I lived in the ocean. Just sit at the North Shore and listen and have that. Water fingers crash the rocky beachhead, meditating the fractured brain. So I really can see that right there.
Yeah, that's
hello,
excellent.
508. We have a visitor.
Hello.
Hello, Chaos. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
All right, we are in the middle of getting comments. So I'm going to ask Sky.
She's coming.
All right, commented.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
You can comment if you heard it, Chaos.
What's that?
Did you say you heard it?
I can comment?
Comment?
I didn't.
Yeah,
she
can comment.
I just read it.
Okay.
Okay.
It was resetting, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that the poem we're on? Okay. Yes, I just read it while I was on hold. And there's some really beautiful imagery in it. Again, the beach jealousy.
Writer's envy.
Yes, I have beach envy because we have red dirt here and no sand. But this is, it's got a lot of really pretty scenery and then it ends with the joining of the hands and the renewal, and it's a very beautiful poem.
awesome comment. Thank you, KS.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. I put you on the board.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a little
abstract. So I have you.
Have fun.
All right. Yeah. All right. So here we go. If everybody's got Rack's poem, here's Rack.
Coconut. Icarus Coconut by Raconteur. I've soared within reach of the sun, only to crash to earth like a coconut, plummeting from the loftiest perch of the tallest of trees, falling without warning, ultimately splitting open, causing everything inside to come spilling out like ichor, soaking into the dirt in a meager attempt to avoid the light, sinking as low as I thought anyone could possibly go, using whatever strength I had left to grab a shovel and start digging. And when I finally expended all of my energy, exhausted and unable to dig anymore, I looked around me and saw I had fallen into a bottomless pit of despair. Feeling sorry for yourself can be the most destructive thought in your head, leading me to wonder if my head is just as hard and my chest similarly lifeless. How am I any different than a coconut? The tattered remains of relationships strewn before me after careening from the clouds, like baggage on an airport carousel, endlessly circling my mind, intermittently disappearing into the bowels of the terminal, only to reappear on the whims of the carousel's nature, marching relentlessly around and around, over and over again. But it's not only the baggage that's put my mind in a holding pattern. I really need to figure out how to put that damn coconut back together again. End poem.
Icarus is a coconut. Leading me to wonder if my head is just as hard and my chest similar lifeless, how am I any different from a coconut? Well, I don't think your head is as hard. I think it's much softer, and I think it's I don't think your tattered remains of a relationship are preening from the clouds. I think you're much more than a coconut. I really do. I love that you are using the metaphor of the coconut, that, you know, we just kind of fall to the earth and we bust open and, you know, there's nothing left. But if you think about everything that's going on with the coconut, coconuts are life-saving. We drink coconut milk, and we have candy bars, and they taste real yummy, and, you know, there's all kinds of things a coconut can do. So you still have life. You're good. No, I love this the first time, and I like it the second time. It's heartbreaking. It's beautiful. I love the baggage carousel line. I think you've metaphorically written this brilliantly, and it's one of yours that, again, is heartbreaking, heartlocker, and I just, how you connect and reconnect with us, it's beautiful. And when I finally expended all of my energy, exhausted and unable to dig anymore, I looked around me and saw I had fallen into the bottomless pit of despair. Feeling sorry for yourself can be the most destructive thought in your head. Well, stop doing that, because like we talked before, our journeys go both ways. So even if you're broken open, I'll drink your milk, coconut milk, anytime. So smile at least for that. All right. Like Guy, your thoughts on thoughts on coconut milk or Icarus?
Well,
milk.
I actually, well, I loved it. And because Daedalus is like one of my favorite stories, and the idea of bringing in Icarus and saying, okay, well, Daedalus, he made that maze, but the Minotaur can't get out. Kind of like life. It's kind of like this maze, being hunted down by a Minotaur, right? And then, obviously, Icarus, the story, Daedalus made them wings so they can escape and flew too close to the sun. And his wings burned up. His mechanical went. And he plummeted, his son plummeted to his death. So the idea of having kind of like this metaphor of being stuck in this life maze and having dreams and stories that keep falling, having this entire background as the metaphor of his piece and kind of bringing in the coconut, of course, I thought was brilliant. And you even go even further to talk about come out feeling like Icar, which is obviously the blood of the god. So your life force being drained, which I thought was very powerful as well. And the way that you kind of like link that in with the coconut, like how when it falls, how are you going to piece it back together? There's really no way. It's really hard. It's really hard to piece yourself back together once you fall. And you kind of feel like this is the cycle, this cycle that keeps coming and you don't know how to fix it. And that in itself is very powerful. And I might say that I read a couple of weeks ago that you're, I think it was like, I'm going to have to look up the percentage, so don't quote me, but I thought it was like 12% or something around there. You were much more likely to die from a coconut than you are from a shark. Like, I heard the odds of dying from a coconut is actually really high. So on that note, it has nothing to do with that. But so that's a little bit darker, I was thinking.
Random
fact. Yeah, I thought you're bringing in Icarus. It's one of my favorite Greek mythology stories, so I really thought it was quite brilliant. Well done.
Thank you, Sky.
Wow. Interesting fact on the coconut thing. I didn't know you could die from coconut more than a shark.
And that was a side note. I think the Icarus. Yes, the Icarus story.
I'm just saying,
that
that's
story,
like
so.
One of your Tuesday night show things. How many times you can die
of
a coconut?
Oh, dying of a coconut, yeah. I know, I read really random, like, they just stick, you know, I don't have any useful information. I try to learn useful skills, and they don't stick, but the useless ones sure do stay around. I don't know why.
I'm like, that's a Sky random fact. How many ways you can die by a coconut? Hatter, your thoughts on the coconut?
Yeah, no, you can die from coconut. No problem. I like the way you tied in the carousel and the baggage return thing. Sort of referenced it together. That was a good angle. Around and around and around. Yeah, how are you going to put the Humpty Dumpty together again, huh? Nice try.
All right. And Cass, do you have any thoughts on this one?
You cracked when you said chaos, I think.
How?
No, I think y'all have covered...
All right, we're good then. All right, I've got Pee-wee's poem up next. And then, Sky, I don't know if you read your inbox, so give me a yay or nay on that.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to have to start up my computer if I'm going to read something. So I can give me a moment. I was on my couch.
Okay, not a problem. Cool. So I'm going to play Pee-wee.
Mistakes and regrets, love and loneliness, time is a measure, life is a test, it's serenity and insanity, everything in between. Lost yourself in a haze, life's waking dream. Coming undone, and pieces drift away. Gave you tomorrow, and you took yesterday. Glittering, then fading once into the black. Falling in puzzle pieces of lack. Some days are mine, some days you find, reminiscent of those good old days and time. When it all comes down and your life is done, gone sailing somewhere on the dark side of the sun. Eye of the storm where the silent shrieks everything that you would take from me. Atrocities, these things done to me, slicing me so I bleed out sanity. Can't replace years that have slipped away. Even if you could, you wouldn't anyway. Memories burn, thoughts on fire. One foot then another, until we expire.
Well, okay. I know what we're all waiting on. I unfortunately, my phone had a problem in the middle of playing that, so I didn't get to hear the whole thing straight through. Sorry, Pee-wee, but I'm sure I could get you a couple of comments from, starting with Hatter. Can you comment for Pee-wee?
Yeah, that was just a little different than usual from Pee-wee, most of the part. Can't replace years that slipped away. Even if you could, you wouldn't anyway. Memories. Yeah, if there was one thing that you have in your life that you'd want kept, memory would be it, right? Everything you experienced that proves you were here. If your memory is safe, your dreams, you know. This is very good. Made me think. Good job, Pee Wee.
Well, that's an accomplishment. That's a piece, Pee Wee. Thank you. Chaos, can you comment, Pee Wee?
I love that he sang it. Combining serenity and insanity in the same line, everything in between, lost yourself in a haze of life's waking dreams. That's beautiful. I've loved Pee Wee's work. He's become one of my favorites around lately. This is a little different than his normal style, but it's really, really good. I like this piece.
And Sweet, can you comment for Pee Wee?
This is Ron Vivid. I think it leaves a bitter taste of unwanted memories that were floating around, just kind of right to the front, and saying, you know, don't forget, you don't have to live this way. Don't forget, you know, those memories burning and those thoughts on fire. Just they don't have to be there. Just keep going. and make the other ones, because it's still just one foot after the other until we're gone. You know, just atrocities, these things done to me, slicing me just so I bleed out sanity. Can't replace those years of loss. So just shut the hell up and just go. I think that, you know, it's really poignant, and he did a really fine job.
Wow. Interesting. Good comments, sweet. Thank you. And Sky?
I enjoyed the singing in the poem, and kind of in relation to the topic, you know, what is the meaning of life? I think Pee-wee certainly brought things in, you know, once we live in. So many things. We take the threading and the loss of dreams, finding of oneself, the loneliness, the mistakes, but also those wonderful as well. When you speak of dark side of the sun, all those dark places, of course, and all those things I really like the most, I think, I can't replace the years that went away. Even if you could, you wouldn't. And I think that a lot of people say, well, you know, if I could go back and change it, you are now. So would you? I like that the four lines there. Really well done.
Awesome.
All right, Sky, you're fade down on us a little bit.
I have my hand fixed, so I don't know how to fix that for you.
All right.
All right, who's up next, sweet? We got how many? Chaos brought one too, I believe.
Yeah. I can't copy and paste, so you have to go fetch it for me.
I have to. We have to go get it. I have Kay's, Jenny's, Sky, and Chaos. So Sky's gonna read Kay.
Okay.
I'm gonna read Jenny, and then I'm not sure if Sky's gonna want to go again or if we're gonna have Chaos and then Sky. So we'll figure that one up as soon as we figure that out. So Sky's gonna read K now. I think that's
okay. What
I have on the board. Maybe not.
Sky.
Can you hear me fine? You can hear me fine, right?
Yeah. Hold on, I gotta put K on the board. I did not do that. Shows you what I know I'm not doing. Hi, K. I sent her to you, but not to the board.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. There she is for everybody. Okay, whenever you're ready, Sky.
Sky's voice got a little...
Sorry?
No, the dog barked after she said, go ahead, Sky. I was like, Sky, your voice sounds a little funny.
All right, so this is Nostalgia's Garden, Journey in Virtue by Kay. Brand new tears in a summer orchard of clay pot trimming. Sunshine petites whistling through autumn breezes. Buttons rend in the lavender field. Barn cat farms alongside the pea pod vine. Through the ornamental ballet, love is the
I'm sorry, she was cutting in and out. She's She's probably still reading, isn't she?
Can you not hear me?
I heard you. Can you not hear me?
Did you not hear
me? Line.
She finished?
Yeah. Well, I heard everything but the last line.
I only heard the first line from her. I was reading along, but I could only hear the first line.
Yeah, all right.
I hate holding the phone up to my face, but I will, because apparently my Bluetooth is not working right. Nostalgia's Garden, Journey in Virtue by Kay. Brandied pears in a summer orchard of clay pot trimmings. Sunshine petites whistling through autumn breezes. Spice a persimmon dance among the roses. Buttons wren in the lavender fields, as barn cats on the farm mingle alongside pea pod vines. To the ornamental ballet, love makes a home. End poem.
Oh, wow. Okay. I like that. And she's got barn cats in there, too. That's pretty cool. I don't know what kind of art she picked, but I'm sure it's you know, gorgeous and relates a lot to the words that she used. You know, she's got a very strong relationship with the things around her, and it shows in the way that she writes and translates into her emotions. I thought this was, you know, a beautiful expression of, you know, being home is where the heart is kind of thing. I really enjoyed it, Kay. Thank you for sharing that tonight. Let's go to Chaos.
To comment?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
I can, with this, I can see the, like you said, the barn cats. I love the thought of them running around the barn and just mingling alongside the pod vines. And I can just see them running through the vines. And it's all really vivid, and it's she makes such vivid images with her descriptions. This is really, really, really nice.
Great comment. Hada, can you comment for KK?
Yeah, no, you're right. She's very good at placing the words together to create an image in your head. Yeah, as good as anybody else. It's very good. Mentioning the barn cats on the farm mingle alongside the pea pod vines. Yeah. I got it. Thanks, Kay. It's very good.
Can you tell us what Remington thought?
Remington says love without malice is a truth you experience, and understanding the power of it is the meaning of true life.
Your dog is wise.
Sometimes.
I believe in dogs.
I believe in dogs, too.
the dyslexic's anthem. Okay. Sky, you read it. What'd you think?
Well, first of all, can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Yeah, much better.
Okay, because I switched out to my other headset. Okay, great. I thought it was wonderful, and again, I'm gonna have to go back to the inspiration for tonight and the meaning of life. You know, kind of where this poem is saying, first of all, I know she loves her fur babies, so of course there were cats in it, and I know she appreciates, you know, all things nature, and then, of course, the home, love makes a home, and I think surrounding yourself with people and a place that you can call home and feel loved and safe is a beautiful thing, and I think she describes that wonderfully here. And I'm sure that's why she brought this. So really well done.
perfect time to check this. Sweet.
All right, next up, we have Jenny the Deep and her poem, My Life's Meaning. This is on the board. My Life's Meaning by Jenny the Deep. For so long, I couldn't find life's meaning. No reason for living, didn't know of any. On the brink of destruction on this dark path, a new day arose, then a miracle happened. The meaning of my life was found. As long as I live, my baby you'll be. Words I sang to you since life gave me you. My bleak future no longer clouded with grim. Life's meaning is you, sweet child. You are the future all children are. Dream, sweet child, find happiness in what you're doing. No matter what life gives you. You gave me meaning in my life, so in return, I'll grow with you and love you with my whole being. I'll always be there guiding you down the right path. A life of happiness fulfilling your dreams is what I hope you have. Giving you a better life, that is my life's purpose. And home.
Oh, that was absolutely beautiful. From a mom's perspective, from you know, a heart's perspective, that's just a beautiful thought. You know, and I think that underscores a little bit the difference between cultures and, you know, the way the relationship between parents and children, and how, you know, sometimes, you know, taking care of the elderly, they forget that, you know, that they got where they are because their parents took care of them to make sure that they got everything they needed to get that far in their lives. And, you know, when it comes, you know, time to take care of them, that doesn't always happen. But, you know, this is the absolute reverse of that. This is, you know, making sure that you know, you're going to get to that point and you're going to grow old. And you know, children are the future, as that saying goes. This is beautifully done. Thank you, Jenny. Sky, did you want to comment on this one?
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful piece, and I think it says something about kind of rebuilding, you know, for where it says in the beginning, for so long couldn't find life's meaning, on the brink of a destruction on this dark path. I have heard, you hear this, that people kind of making better choices, either A, making better choices because they have another life in their hands, or a person was a victim of poor choices by other people, and they're changing that cycle. So, I mean, there are many ways you can look at it from different perspectives, but all coming down to a new life coming into the world and that being your focus now and being able to rebuild what was once broken, and I thought it was a beautiful piece.
Awesome comments, Connie. Chaos?
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's
my
no problem.
Child is odd. She is my life, but she makes for an interesting one. My children are my life. They really are. So can really understand a child being your life's purpose. I absolutely adore my two. Even if they sing psychotic songs, shut up.
We're going to have to put you in a corner. Sweet Pea, what did you think?
You know, I agree that your children can be, you know, your life's purpose, and you turn around and all of a sudden your purpose is telling you when to go to bed and what you should eat and yelling at you. Because my life's purpose is going to be turning 40 in November. and I have a 40-year-old child, and that just racks my brain. But he'll call me, and he'll be like, Mom, I how are you mentally? What are you doing? What's your state? I'm doing a mental check on you. How are you physically? Are you eating everything? Are you following your heart diet? And I just want to, you know, I go back and I remember, like, did I not change your diaper? Did I not make sure you ate? So I think that there are a lot of great purposes in life. And but I also, kind of from what Sky's perspective was, you know, I think we find purpose in the world through our child's eyes when we start with pure, when our hearts are pure from the start. Because, you know, there are so many people that have children that their hearts aren't pure. And there are children that are not blessed to have really good parents that find, you know, purpose in them and find the protection they need and everything like that. So pure of heart, pure of love, and pure of purpose. And that's what I found in this poem. It was very, very beautiful, Jenny.
Oh, that's an awesome comment. Thank you, sweet. And I think he's calling to make sure you didn't lose your marbles. Not that you can't, that you're not capable. But anyways, Ad Hatter.
Yeah, it goes like this, boys and girls. I love the way she ended it, giving you a better life. It goes like this, and there's a lot of truth to it. Your grandfather worked hard to give your father a better life, and he did. And your father had an easier life, and he worked hard because he learned from your grandfather how to make his son have a bit easier life, and he did. Then it gets down to the grandson who expects everything because he has it so easy. It's all handed to him. And then the next generation starts over and struggles through life the way it is. Human nature.
It sounds like the cycle of life. Right.
Yeah. All right. Sky, do you want to read or you want Chaos to read and then you're the last poem of the night?
I mean, I'm not in charge here, so whatever you guys want to do.
Well, you just read, so I'm asking you. I don't care. It's your choice.
I don't care. Yeah. Well, you just read, but I don't care either way.
All right, well, then I'm going to give it to Chaos, and I'm going to make you read last because I love the sound of your voice.
All right.
I got to find it, though. See, I'm blabbering. I don't even know what I'm doing. But that's nothing new. You guys know that.
It's chaos.
Actually, it's chaos. And technically, it's not my show anyway. So, Rack, it's your decision. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Which girl do you want to go?
Oh, my gosh. Just let chaos go. Just let chaos go.
You said chaos. It's the chaos of
right.
Reading next, so...
I've just, you know, I figured I'd just do what I got to do. All right, where is
Chaos? You can read first, Miss Chaos.
Chaos. I got
What's
Chaos.
That?
Where's your? Oh, it's gonna be. It's gotta be. Unfortunately, it's gonna be Sky because I have Sky's poem. And Chaos, what poem am I reading? Because I've got to go get yours.
Yeah, Chaos is Delirium. Seeing life through something or other.
I
forgot the title of my poem.
Well, I need the title of your poem so that I can go get your poem so I can put it on the board.
If you could, you can't copy paste this.
No.
What's the title of your poem?
Now. Okay.
Okay, what's the title of your poem, honey?
The title of my poem? Let me go look.
Yeah.
Well, she takes her name seriously.
I know.
Seeing life through sequins and feathers.
Okay, so Sky, go ahead and read your poem while I go fetch Chaos's poem.
Okay, meaning of life. those small moments. That's what I'm picking. So, I mean, this is focused on, obviously, my goddaughter, but it's not, you know, it's about stopping to enjoy those small moments in life and being reminded by people that you love, not just her, but other people around you, and reminding yourself, too, to have that cup of coffee out on the porch in the morning. And that's my commitment to myself this year. This is called Of Hobbit Holes and Forest Pockets by Sky Dark Home. I watch this peek into water's depths, small wonders of what might live below, reflections of herself on rippling clouds, the curious pace of universe. And as she walks along the forest brook, smiles at the sound of crunching leaves, considers intently each sprouting flower, fungi hidden in those gathered on trees.
The dog's like
she
it.
She stops, talks with a parade of ants, follows ever gently to their tower homes, looks to see the hammer of beak and bark, the squirrels squirreling stolen pine nuts. She concludes there are secrets tucked, holes where hobbits live, carriage mice, rabbit parties, wants to knock at each one, finding magic, a discovery all their own. Later, when we ourselves are under roof, she rests neath glow stars on ceiling tops, as I rummage pockets before laundry bins, hold to the day's dirt-stained jeans and socks. There in pockets are wreaths of forest floor, tumble rock twigs, spinner copter leaves, and her own bit of squirreled pine tree nuts, hidden in those sacred places of childhood. I stop then, recollect those first discoveries, those first puddle-jumping rains in summer, when the world was made of more than just another setting, sun setting, and more clouds turned. I remember the fragility of time and universe, the gift of each day, and if I forget and hastens, and all those distractions we deem important, pray I be reminded in smiles such as these. And a poem.
Wow, that was gorgeous. I liked how you tied the hobbits into that too, and a child's imagination. But, you know, the whole concept of it is really, really very, very comforting and relatable. I just thought it was beautiful. And on a side note, every time, you mentioned the clouds, I think, you know, oh, sky must be feeling full. This is a lovely poem. And how your daughter put And I just kind of the world through her eyes.
Thank you, Rex.
Lovely. Hatter, can you comment for Sky?
You know, Sky, I looked at that picture before I read the title. I thought I was going to say Hobbit Holes and Fishing Poles.
Believe it or not, she's not holding a fishing pole. That's just a stick. It just really looks like it. Believe it or not.
if she's got a string, it's a fishing pole.
Oh, you could also jab the fish with the stick and do it like spear fishing.
Well, it really looks like it really looks like she's holding a fishing pole, but it's really not. It does. It's perfect. Yeah.
This hit on it too. The better life thing, didn't it? I like to run it through the pockets before you separate the laundry. That's a good metaphor. Unless you really meant
really
going through the laundry.
It wasn't a metaphor. It was really happening.
Okay. All right. Either way.
Again.
Good comment. Yeah.
Thank you, Adder.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Chaos.
This is just wonderful. I wish she got to read last because I don't want to follow this. uh, I like the I rummage pockets before the laundry bins and hold the day's dirt, stain, and jeans and socks. There in the pockets are wreaths of forest floor, tumbled rocks, twigs, spinner copter leaves. There. I love those things. Those are one of the funnest things in life.
They are. They're really enjoyable.
They are. They're one of the funnest things in life. I gather them up. I'm old. But I will gather them up along the road and just have fun with them all the way home. but it's like, yes, you bring all this stuff home with you, and you have it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just I have Peter Pan syndrome or something. But no, this is
it.
But this is, I don't know, just it's so beautiful and happy, and I love everyone.
Thank you so much, Candace. And I think that's the point of it, right? When you say you said you're old and you still do it, that's the point of it, is that you remember to still do those things and still appreciate those small things. And you can still collect. And you said you're like Peter Pan, which I'm assuming you mean because you don't want to grow up. But I think that when you're young, you see things as fresh and new and everything's a miracle, right? And then you grow up and things get dull. And I think it's important to remember to take that time and appreciate all that. So you may think you're Peter Pan, but you're on the right. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, that's what you got to do. So thank you.
And sweetie,
you know, this is one of my favorites of yours, and it just kind of makes me melancholy. The first time you read it, I actually cried. It reminds me so much of my childhood and the little bit of woods between the beach and the lake and my house and the things I would collect, and then it reminds me so much of all the little treasures I would find in little boys' pockets as they were growing up, and now the little things I find in my grandson's pockets, and it's just amazing. Like, just the other day, he brought in a stick from the yard, and he had to put it in the drawer with the dog stuff. The dogs have the little drawer of their toys and stuff, and this little stick, he opens the drawer and he puts it in the dog drawer. And it's like, okay, so this is where this stick goes. And he just finds these things. So right before my heart surgery, we were on a walk, and we found this rock that kind of has the shape of a heart. And on the rock is written or painted the word hope. And that is one of my favorite pocket things that he's ever found. And it still sits on my desk. And the things that they find and the things that we find just simply taking walks and looking at our world are so beautiful. And I think we just reminisce on this, and it's just the path of life. And I just find this to be so utterly beautiful. It's just crazy to me. And you captured it in perfect sky fashion. It's beautifully done, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's why you shouldn't give your kids phones until they're in their teens, waiting in their teens. They don't use their imagination.
Yeah.
They're being starved of it.
That's why you check the pockets because they leave the phone
in the pocket.
People are surprised to find my children outside. They go outside and they play out in, you know. Now my teenager doesn't do it as much anymore, but they've also played outside, like in the dirt and with sticks and rocks.
Just surprised to find my children outside. I usually leave them chained up in the basement.
No, we're practicing the fire drill. You know, I love the forest and lakes, and I'm very much out too. So my goddaughter is just always up in a tree, and I'm a little helicoptery in public places. So everybody's always like, I'm surprised you let her climb the tree, and I'm like, I let her do all that. I'm just, well, they're public and there's a lot of people around. I keep her very close. Yeah, I'm a very helicopter when there's a lot of people around and we're in public places. But when we're in the woods, just go for it. Just do it.
Right.
You got no kids riding bikes. It's a rarity to see a kid on a bike anymore. In California.
My son has a bike. He rides it up and down the road.
My grandson is five. He has a bike and a scooter. Yeah.
I haven't seen a kid on a bike in years, but that wouldn't be as funny.
Oh.
Actually, it's more funny. All right. Payas, you have your poem up. I believe that's the last poem of the night. Let me double check everything, but yeah.
Okay, y'all
ready? So whenever you are ready to read. Yep.
Seeing life through sequins and feathers. Quiet lies hiding behind every smile, handed out like Halloween candy, as everyone dances at the daily masquerade ball. Each day, just a costume change from masters to waltz with another partner, seeking hope only to play the fool. Mystery and fantasy try to find a voice in reality to ground in futility of sunset finality.
Wow. That's beautiful. That was me a little speechless. Searching.
What's the daily masquerade ball? Just going outside, going people.
Yeah, just
putting your mask.
I imagine it's just putting that smile on your face, right? For some of us, it's pretending to be normal.
What is normal?
No, it's like everybody puts their mask on to go to work, and a different mask when you go play, and a different mask when you're on a date, and a different, you know, the costumes, the masquerade.
Mm-hmm.
Sunset's finality.
Nice.
That's a sad ending.
She's not offering any insights at
it. Never meant anything anyway. Very good.
What about you, Sky? What'd you think?
Well, I kind of liked where, you know, Hatter was going too with all the faces that we wear. I can't remember. I feel like there was something like that. The faces we wear are so many. You know, you have just like the roles that you have in life. And I think, you know, this is obviously going through those darker moments. Quiet lies hiding behind every smile. I mean, you walk by someone and you say, "Hey, how are you?" Or you call, you talk to somebody and they say, "Oh yeah, I'm fine, I'm great." How often is that really the truth? So when you think of lies, you can go very, you know, just think about the egregious lies and say, "Oh, the people that are purposely trying to harm us." But then you think of those little lies that we say every day, even with the word "I'm fine" or "I'm doing well" or "Yeah, I'm okay," and we're not, because behind that smile, there's a lot going on. And I think that people are just so, you know, used to covering that and not exposing that vulnerability in ourselves because they're afraid to get hurt. And because of that, there comes the mask. And I like the metaphor of the handed out like Halloween candy. I really liked that. And then, of course, the masquerade balls, which I'm partial to, because when you're thinking about a masquerade ball and you're thinking about dancing, and this isn't just one person in a room, you're having tons of partners, and I don't mean just as a partner as in like a love relationship, but when you think of the partnership in all your relationships in life, whether it be your child, your mother, your partner, you know, a stranger, you're constantly being whirled around and having to be something for someone else. And I think and that's the idea of the second stanza, you know, that costume change. At least that's the way that I took it. And then this one, partner seeking hope, only to play the fool. And that's where, again, the more disappointing aspect comes into it, where, you know, perhaps, you know, the speaker is looking for a better outcome, but that cycle just keeps coming back to those false hopes. So I thought it was really well done, and I think many of us feel this way from time to time, and unfortunately, this is something people live in, and that's the reality of it. And we should really be reminded of that when we meet people and we see people every day, and we don't know what they're going through, really. And I think that's important to remember. Excellent piece.
Finding your niche, your own niche in the group. You know, the mask where everybody, you do act a certain way for other people, but it's a selfish act. It's not so vain as you might think. It's to fit in.
Oh, I'm not saying it's vain at all. I don't think it's vain at all. That's not what I meant at all. Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't. No, think you did. It's just that.
And sweet, you get the last comment.
Oh, to be the king.
It's good to be the king.
It is good to be the queen, king, according to Tom Petty. But I do believe that only a fool, for tomorrow and tomorrows and tomorrows, is a tale told by an idiot. That signifies nothing. All I'm wondering, life is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, for these are the only things I know. Each day is just a costume change for masquerade to waltz with another partner seeking hope, only to play the fool. For what is love? Mastery and fantasy should find a voice in reality down to brutality of sunset's finality. Or is it murder or funeral?
I think it speaks to the futility of what we go through. You know, we have our moment on the stage, and we're full of sound and fury, trying to make our point, trying to be heard. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to anybody.
It doesn't really matter to anybody. It's all tomfoolery. But I do think there's a little more depth to this. I love the title, Seeing Life Through Sequins and Feathers. Quiet lies hiding behind every smile handed out like Halloween candy. I love that. Everyone gets a smile like in Halloween candy. Unless you were like the stout Mormons who refused to be Halloween people. But, you know, you just had all those crazy people that, you know, I don't know. I like this. I love it. It has a lot of underlying meaning to me. It's about how we behave, when we behave, what characters we play, what scenes we play, what acts we are. We're all on stage. Everyone's on stage. It's just, you know, as Shakespeare said, we're all the same players with all the same problems. Only the actors change on the stage. So I found this to be fantastic chaos.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we probably all got it wrong, and it's some rock and roll singer that we don't know, right?
Actually, yeah. This time around, I think you all got a piece of it right.
All right, awesome.
It is not it's not some front man from a death metal band or a guy from TikTok.
All right.
This is the time to hang out.
This is about true life.
All right, say goodnight to everybody. Rack, your time is done.
I kind of was saying my thank yous. I guess I was drowned out. You know, I'd like to thank everybody that took the time to hang out, tune in and write, and everybody that's going to be downloading. Even if you didn't, I guess, you know, to try and drop a comment, because we like the feedback. This is what you thought. This is a lot of fun, and almost every night we have various shows. Did you got anything you need to plug, Sky? Your show's coming up soon.
It's okay. I'll be on Thursday, bringing Christmas poems.
Christmas.
It's July. It's
Christmas in July. Poetic Slice on Thursday. And she starts early, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Yes,
to find her.
Yes, I'm an early bird. 8 o'clock.
And
yeah.
back to back after Sky, we have Sweet Pea, right?
Yes, here on Team of Voices at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we are talking cow parts and second chances.
I don't know about Friday, but Saturday's Saturday. What's going on
Saturday? Friday's the man cave. Friday's the man cave. We've got a new format. So listen in.
Friday's the man cave with Hatter and Steven 76.
Yeah. And Saturday is the one that got away with AP Taylor and Deborah and myself.
Just like that meatball on top of the spaghetti. The one that got away.
That's right.
All righty. So, thank you, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Yep. It was a great time.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Thank you. Push the button.
All right. I will push the button. Good night.
If you're using Blog Talk Radio, goodbye.
Goodbye.